Well, with God's grace, we're going to be considering this amazing, loving Saviour this evening as we turn to, if you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. So Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. It's on page 981 in the church Bibles. Really familiar, the feeding of the 5,000, really familiar passage, but just wonderful. So let's read through that together now. When Jesus heard what had happened, and he's talking there, by the way, about the fact that John the Baptist had been executed and had been buried by his followers. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Well, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful account of what happened here on this earth just a couple of thousand years ago, Lord, when your Son walked among us. Father, we praise you and thank you for this wonderful part of your word. And we pray now that you would draw near, bless, and speak to each one of us through your word. Pray that you would do that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, a good friend of mine applied for a job as a deputy head teacher down in South Wales. And everything was going fine in his application for this deputy headship until they offered him the job. At which point, on the way home, bearing in mind that this deputy headship was in a place that was probably among the top 10 most deprived areas of Wales, the children had needs that were beyond what we can comprehend, really, and a really, really challenging school environment. On the way home, his confidence deserted him. His sense of joy evaporated. By the time he got home, he was a wreck. And I'm only smiling now because I know what happened afterwards, but he got better. But for weeks, literally weeks, he could barely string a sensible sentence together. In fact, it was so severe that his wife was quite tearful, that her husband had just vanished. He was a different person altogether. He could barely speak. And she was urging him to just drop the job altogether. But then wonderfully the Lord intervened in response to prayer and all came good. But there are times in our lives when we feel completely out of our depth. And that was one of the times that he had to face. And if you're feeling completely out of your depth, as you face a seemingly insurmountable challenge in front of you, in particular in response to a command that God has given you or a prompting by his Spirit to carry out a particular task that he has entrusted just to you to carry out, then this evening, I'm hopeful, will be a time of comfort and great encouragement for you as we think about this feeding of the 5,000. So let's just have a look at a few wonderful truths that flow out from this event in the life of Christ. And the first one, I just want you to draw your attention to, is that Jesus loves you. You know, ask that his love will flow from you to others. Jesus loves you. You know, verse 13 in the passage, you know, after hearing that John the Baptist has been executed, Jesus, no doubt full of grief at the loss of his dear friend and cousin, withdrew by boat, looking for peace and solitude. He went to this solitary place. And we have here just the humanity of Christ just leaping out of us, just as an aside. You know, at some of the most challenging points in his life, he sought just solitude with his Heavenly Father, peace and quiet away from the crowds, so he could engage in undisturbed prayer. And, you know, we can surely identify with that. There are times when we have felt exactly the same. But on this occasion, by the time he'd got to the place where he'd intended to go, this crowd had appeared, this vast number of people, this great crowd had heard where he was going and had followed there by foot, and they were there waiting for him. And it's interesting, you know, bearing in mind the news that he'd just heard, you might think, well, Jesus might reasonably, at this point in his earthly life, have turned to the crowds and just said, friends, you know, I came here for peace and quiet. I've had some really awful news. I just need to be alone with my Heavenly Father. And that would have sounded very reasonable, wouldn't it? But instead, we read in Mark 6:34, which gives us the account of the same event, we read that he saw the crowd as being like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion for them, filled with compassion for them. And so the needs of the people in front of him meant more to him, more to our Saviour, than his own convenience and his own ease. And so he healed their sick, he healed those who were ill. And you just see this wonderful, compassionate heart of your Saviour towards you in this. You know, what do we learn from this? We learn that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. That's good news for you this evening. Whatever state you're in, whatever troubles you're going through, Jesus loves you. His love for the people was in the midst of great suffering for himself personally. And yet now, this evening, as we are sitting here, he is seated in the heavens above, being worshipped and adored by countless angels, a great throng of angels just pouring out their praise to him. And from his throne in heaven, he knows you. The number of hairs upon your head are known to him. Every aspect of your life, all your troubles, your concerns, your cares, your needs, they're all known to him, and he loves you and has compassion for you. That is the heart of your God towards you this evening. And it's a wonderful thing to dwell upon. You know, are you someone who has wandered astray? Are you someone who has just been going away and enjoying carnal pleasures and drifting away from your God? Well, we read in the Word that God is compared to a father who welcomes back a wayward son, who rushes to him, embraces him, and kisses him and welcomes him back. That is the heart of God towards you as a wanderer. It's the love of Jesus for you this evening. You know, are you someone who is despairing at the loss of a loved one or the challenge that is placed before you that seems insurmountable? Well, whatever you're going through, the heart of Jesus is one of compassion towards you. He loves you. He cares for you. If you belong to him, you belong to Jesus. You know, have you experienced that love? Are you someone who belongs to him and therefore just enjoys this torrent of blessing that is continually pouring down? Even when you're not even aware of it, it is pouring down ceaselessly into your life, so that every aspect and detail of your life is under his loving providential care continually, even when you're not mindful of it. You know, are you aware of that? And do you know this risen Saviour who loves you? And if you don't know Jesus, then please come to him, knowing this, that he is a loving Saviour who welcomes sinners, no matter what you have done, to himself. It's the heart of Jesus. And we see it wonderfully here as he meets this crowd in the midst of his grief, in the midst of his desire for solitude, peace, and quiet. What does he respond with? Compassion. Loving compassion for this crowd. But moreover, more than that, if you do belong to him this evening, then with God's help, this is an example for you to follow. You have the Spirit of Christ at work within you. The Spirit of the one who, even under great stress, has compassion for those around him. Have you had a tough week at school or at work or wherever you have been? Have people mistreated you? Have you felt unsupported, overlooked, undervalued? Have you been belittled this week? Perhaps you received some awful news about your health and you can't get it out of your mind. And it's all, you're dwelling upon it and there is nothing you seem able to do about it. How do you respond in that situation of stress and strain and personal difficulties that are very real? How do you respond? Well, do you, as you come home, think, oh, I'm going to make a beeline for the study. I'm going to quickly grab a mug of coffee and just relax in front of a film and lock the door and shut out the outside world and leave it at that. And then there's a knock at the door and there's a neighbour who needs to chat with you about something. They're going through some difficult times. Or maybe the children come up to you and they've had something said to them in school which doesn't seem like much, but for them it's really hurt them and they need to talk about it. Or perhaps your spouse is, for a very good reason, under it and they need some loving care, but you just want to get to your study. How do you respond? Well, with God's grace, pray that even in the midst of very real personal trials, just pray that that Spirit that was filled our Saviour, the Spirit of God, that looked upon this crowd and esteemed their needs more highly than his own, may that be the Spirit that is within you, increasingly growing in you as he moves and works in and through you. So pray for that. Secondly, just notice that, and I know that you've probably heard this as we've considered this passage before maybe, but bring your limited, puny little resources to Jesus and then watch him use them. Up to verse 16, the disciples have just been spectators, haven't they? Watching Jesus at work. But then the story takes this unexpected turn. And in verse 16, they listen to these extraordinary words. He says, "You give them something to eat." There's no need for Jesus to involve them at this point. I think we've heard before that if Jesus at this point had just responded by seeing the great need of hunger in this crowd and then had just performed the miracle and just fed them, that would read okay, wouldn't it? You think, well, that's just God at work. But here, for whatever reason, Jesus wants us to be used as fellow workers in his service. And so he says, "You give them something to eat." We have to face up to the fact that we're inadequate for the task. And it's quite comical, really. The disciples are there. Feed this crowd. We've got these five loaves and these two fish. That's all we've got. It's pathetic. It's pitiful. And that's exactly what we are like, how we feel. We've just seemed to be so lacking in gifting. We seem to be so lacking in resource, in time, in energy, in whatever it might be that's needed to obey the Lord's commands. And yet, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." So do you feel like that? Have you ever felt out of your depth? in particular, you know, in response to the tasks that and the commands that Jesus has given you as someone who belongs to him? Do you feel out of your depth? You know, raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Out of my depth. Share the good news with others around you, in the, you know, those you come across in life. Tell them the good news about Jesus. Out of my depth. Make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is within you, and do that with respect and gentleness. Out of our depth. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Oh, we're all out of our depth to obey these commands. Wonderful commands, but we feel so inadequate for the task that he's given us to do, don't we? Just the very size and scale of whatever you have been prompted to do just leave you feeling paralyzed with inadequacy. You know, perhaps like the disciples, you respond to all this by perhaps trying to shake off responsibility, you know, or ignoring the fact that responsibility rests with you to obey them. You know, look at what they do. This is a solitary place, you know, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Sounds pretty reasonable, but do you know what? They very often sent people away, didn't they, the disciples? The Syrophoenician woman was sent away by them. Parents with their children seeking the blessing of Jesus. Oh, send them away. Off you go. Jesus doesn't want us to shirk responsibility for obeying the commands that he's given us to do. He doesn't want us to send away those who need our loving care. He wants you to bring those meager resources to him and watch him work. So look at verse 18. And he said, bring them here to me. He's talking there about the loaves of bread and the fish. See, Jesus will always equip you to obey whatever command he has given you to carry out. The disciples bring their five loaves and they bring their two fish, and you need to do the same. You have gifts, that you have something to contribute. There are gifts given by the ascended Christ. We read about this in Ephesians 4, and it's a wonderful passage where we read, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Now, what resources do you have? What time do you have? What money do you have? What abilities have you got that you could use in the Lord's service? You may say, well, my gifts, they're not very spiritual. They're more practical. And, well, they can be used by Jesus in the service of other people, to serve others, to make the love of Christ known to his people and those beyond the church, as they look at the love we share for one another and they realize that Christ is God. You know, you may be thinking, well, my days of service are over. You know, I'm weary. You know, it's time for me to sit back and let others take on the mantle of service. You know, I'm pulling back now. Well, God clearly doesn't think your days of service are over. Otherwise, you'd be in glory. He's got a purpose for you still here. There is a reason why you are still here below. And whatever it might be, you have gifts that are to be used in his service for his glory. And some of you may well say that even as your health and strength decline, there must still be work for you to do. And even if it is to pray, I mean, just think about what we heard this morning. You know, the power of prayer to change the world around us, to bring salvation to those who are lost. The power of prayer. God uses your prayers to to bring him glory. So pray, even if your health means you have to stay at home at times. So yes, pray that the Lord would use you. Just by way of illustration, in 1972, this might help, it might not, but in 1972, NASA launched this exploratory space probe called Pioneer 10, right? And from an 8-watt transmitter, it was the whole purpose of the mission was to send it off to Jupiter. And when it got to Jupiter, it was meant to take a few photographs of Jupiter and then beam back a bit of information about its atmosphere and all that sort of stuff, and then run out of battery. That was basically the mission. And anyway, what the scientists didn't count on, they even thought it was going to fail because they thought it would get smashed by the asteroid belt, but that's by the by. What they didn't count on was that the gravitational pull of Jupiter, this unseen force, would grab hold of Phoenix 10 and ping it off at a much faster speed than they could have possibly imagined, off into the outer reaches of the solar system. So it ended up taking pictures of Saturn, beaming those back, Uranus, eventually got to Pluto, and then in 1997, it was still beaming back things. It was launched in 72 and was meant to be 3 years. It was supposed to run out of battery. In 1997, it was still beaming stuff back because of the intervention of this unseen gravitational pull. As you offer yourself in service to Jesus with your meager gifts, as you may feel they are, God can work, even using your equivalent of an 8-watt battery, to do far more than you could have ever thought or imagined. You just need to trust Jesus and obey. It's as simple as that. Just trust and obey. And see him work. So perhaps you need to say, well, Lord, you know, I'm not going to worry about what I haven't got. I'm not going to worry about the task that seems impossible by the estimation of most. Lord, I'm not going to worry about what I can't do. Lord, I'll just bring what I've got and what I can do, and I'm going to give it to you. And that's what the disciples did. And then they find out, thirdly and finally, all things are possible through Christ. You know, Jesus isn't put off by the enormity of the task of feeding these 5,000 plus women and children. He broke the loaves in verse 19 and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. So no, it can't be done by me or you, by any merely human agency, but Jesus can do it, for he is the Son of God, and he can work in and through us. Can you overcome the challenges that are before you that seem beyond working out to you? Maybe you can't, but not on your own, but through the strength that Jesus gives, and by his unseen, wonderful working, then it can be done. The beauty and mystery of this part of the passage is just wonderful, isn't it? I love what's not written here. Exactly when did the bread appear and the fish? I don't know. Did it appear under his hands as he was praying? Did it just appear in the baskets as they were being distributed? We don't know. But it doesn't matter. The mystery of what God can do in his unseen, eternally powerful way is beyond our fathoming. It's beyond our tracing out. All we need to do is just trust and obey. So do you believe that, you know, he can use your limited resources to bless many through you? What about that family member who has heard the gospel countless times? Have you given up on them? It just seems they're beyond reaching. Through Jesus, they can be saved. Keep praying. Keep sharing the good news. What about that seemingly insurmountable problem in your family life, perhaps with a marriage or with a child or with whatever it might be? You know, and the Lord knows, may seem insurmountably difficult to you, but Christ can deal with it. He can deal with it. Does the Lord not understand the scale of the problems that you face? Or the seemingly impossibility of obeying his command, even to love your neighbour as yourself, to love him with all your heart? Does he not understand the scale and challenge of doing that in your life, day to day? Well, on your own, that would be impossible, but through Christ, all things are possible. In the strength that he supplies, by the working of his Spirit, pray that you would be filled with his Spirit, and that you can live out in obedience of these commands. He gives you the strength to do them. He will not test you beyond your strength. And at the end of the Gospel, John says of the miracles or signs he'd recorded, which included the feeding of the 5,000. This is what he said about the signs, the miracles. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, all the miracles that we read about, including this wonderful feeding of the 5,000, they point beyond themselves to the miracle worker, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came into the world as was promised from ancient times, and then came and fulfilled the commission he was given to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, that you might know complete peace with God, forgiveness of all of your sins. Have you believed in him? Have you received that gift of forgiveness? Do you know God by the work of his Spirit as you come humbly for forgiveness to him? Well, I pray and urge you, if you haven't yet come, come to Jesus. Believe and be saved. Ask for the forgiveness you need. Put your trust wholly in him and in him alone, nothing of yourself, and believe in him and be saved. And then you will know that power that is at work that enabled the feeding of the 5,000 at work in and through you, resurrection power. So may God enable you to see other people around you as he does, as people who are like sheep without a shepherd, who need to find the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God enable you to have a Christ-like compassion as you look at the world around you. And love those who are lost, those who are in need, even when you are under great strain and pressure and stress. May you be able to look out as he did and serve others in love. May God give you the grace to honestly face up to the poverty of your own resources, but nevertheless bring them to God and watch the Lord Jesus work, even through you. And may it be that you experience this power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who ever shall be the Son of the living God. As you act in faith, may the impossible become possible.